Hey friend, I'm Micah McCurry. Welcome back to Bible Tract Echoes. We're going to jump right in today. I'm sharing with you an old message, over six decades old, from Dr. Paul Levine. Yes, 60 years plus from the past, but still so very relevant today. Dr. Paul Levine preached this message way back in the day. It would be in the mid-50s, maybe even earlier. We don't know precisely. Unfortunately, I don't have a recording from all the way back then, but I do have the very first edition, the very first book of the very first edition of this message titled One Step at a Time in the physical version. It was printed as a book, and the desire was that thousands of people would maybe be able to interact with this message, to read it for themselves, even though they'd never meet Dr. Paul. Well, if you've never met Dr. Paul, you won't get a chance until we get to heaven, because he passed away in 1996, but the intention, the purpose of this book, this message, is being fulfilled, because this week we're sharing it on Bible Tract Echoes, and we're going to jump right in. The first theme of One Step at a Time was the will of God. And I'd ask you, are you living? Are you in the will of God? God's will for your life. It ends with this thought. If you missed yesterday's broadcast, you can go back and find the archived podcast version. Just search for Bible Tract Echoes on your favorite podcast provider. Paul Levine jumps in here with a parable of the footlights. He says this, I read in another part of the world, they would tie a little lamp on each ankle. Now, watch how this works. Imagine they have a little light on each ankle. It's dark, and there's a crooked pathway ahead. As they step forward with that right foot, the light in that little lamp shows enough of the pathway ahead for the next step. Those little lamps aren't like a beacon light that shoots a ray of light two blocks ahead. Those little lamps will only show the light for the next step. That's all they show. But when the person takes that step, then the light on that foot shows the next step, and so on, step by step down the pathway. The way to see further ahead down the pathway is to go as far as they can see now. When they take that next step, the light on that foot shows the light for the next step, and that is all the further they can see. They can't see any further down the pathway until they go as far as they can see, and that is one more step. So when they take that one step, the lamp on that foot shows the next step, and they just keep going one step at a time. There might be a sharp rock on the pathway, or a nasty rattlesnake coiled there, or a scorpion, or something else dangerous, so each step is taken carefully. And when they take one step, they see the light for the next one, and so on. They can say, these little lamps that I've tied on each foot are the lamps to my feet, because they only show each step. But as they follow the light step by step, then they can turn around and say, not only are these little lamps to my feet, but they are also the light to my pathway, one step at a time. And that's what the Bible is, a lamp or a light for the next step. Now, if you take that step, then God will show you the light for the next step. The way to see further ahead in the will of God is to go as far as you can see now, and that's the next step. When you take that step, God will show you the next one. Why should God show you the steps far ahead if you are not willing to take the ones he is showing you now? You take the first step, and then the second, then the third, and on to the fourth. You don't take the first step, and then the fourth, and then the seventh. God's word is a light to your feet for the next step, not for the next year or two ahead. So you follow the Lord step by step from the time you are saved until you meet the Lord face to face. What does he want you to do now? You do that, whatever that is. What does he want you to do next? Do that. After a while, you can turn around and say about God's word, thy word is a lamp to my feet, and has also become a light to my pathway, one step at a time. That's the way you know the will of God, and that's the way it works. This is a Bible principle. He continues on, Paul Levine does, with something I mentioned yesterday, how great Bible characters knew God's will for their lives. How great Bible characters knew God's will for their lives. When the Apostle Paul got saved, he was heading for Damascus in Syria. On the way, the Lord slaps him down. Here he is, lying on his face in the dust, and there is a great light from heaven, and he is blinded. He hears a voice. Somebody is speaking, but he doesn't know who it is. But he knows this, that whoever that person is that knocked him flat, he's bigger than him. So he is ready to give up. He's not going to fight him. No, sir, he's ready to cry, "Uncle." So while laying there on his face, he says, Acts 9:6, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" Did the Lord say, "I'm going to change your name to Paul. I'm going to make a great missionary out of you. You're going to travel all over the Roman Empire. You're going to establish a lot of churches. You're going to write Romans, 1st, 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd Timothy, Titus, Philemon, and I haven't even yet decided whether or not I will have you write Hebrews." For those of you that understand, that's pretty funny. We'll go on for time's sake. Is that what the Lord said? No, that's not what the Lord said. The Lord said, Acts 22:10, "Arise and go into Damascus, and there it shall be told thee of all things which are appointed for thee to do." The Lord just showed him the next step. Now suppose Paul would have gone stubborn about it and said, "I don't want to go to Damascus. Why do you want me to go to Damascus? I want to go to Jerusalem." If he had gone to Jerusalem or Rome or Ephesus or some other city, maybe he'd have never gotten the directions God had for him in Damascus. He wouldn't have gotten the light for the next step. When Paul said, "What do you want me to do?" and the Lord said, "Go to Damascus," Paul didn't argue about it. He just went to Damascus, and there he got the directions for the next step. In other words, he took the next step that God wanted him to take. Abraham, how about him? The Bible says, Hebrews 11:8, he went out not knowing whither he went. He just walked with God step by step. Once, he spent 15 years in disobedience. And during that time, Abraham never received another commandment or another promise. It might be dark up ahead, but there's plenty of light for the next step. 1 John 1:7, "But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another." You won't walk alone. When you walk in obedience to the light God gives, he walks with you to comfort and strengthen you. What about Philip? Look at him. He's preaching to great crowds in Samaria. The angel says in Acts 8, "The next step for you is to leave the busy work you're doing here, leave the crowds, go out on the desert road." Did the angel tell him why? No. Did the angel say, "The secretary of the treasury of Ethiopia will travel that road and you're going to go win him to Christ"? No. I wonder what Philip would have thought if God had told him that. "Lord, you mean to tell me that the big honcho from Ethiopia will be there?" That would be like God telling you to get out on a country road because the Secretary of the Treasury of France would come by and you'd have to have the high honor of meeting him. You'd get all spruced up and get down there pronto. But all God said was, "Get down on that desert road." He obeyed, and when he went down there, God gave him the next step. If Philip had not taken that first step to the Gaza road, he never would have known the second step. What about Ruth? The way Ruth found Boaz, her husband. Read the book of Ruth. See how she obeyed step by step. She said to Naomi, "What do I do next?" Naomi said, "Do this." Ruth got her instructions from God through Naomi. Ruth obeyed one step at a time, and the pathway led straight to Boaz. They married, and their son Obed was David's grandfather. Imagine that. And through that line, Christ came into the world to be our Savior. So, take the next step. Dr. Paul says, "I know a young fellow who is educated for the ministry. He wasn't in the ministry as yet. He was working in electronics. As he walked down the pathway of the will of God, he prayed, 'What do you want me to do next, Lord? What's the next step?' The Lord said, 'I want you to quit your job.' And the man said, 'I can't quit my job, Lord.' 'God, why can't you?' 'Because I have a wife and 6 children, that's why, and they have to eat.'" Now, a little tongue-in-cheek, God probably didn't know that man had all those kids and that they had to eat. But friend, he did and he does. Because the Lord will never ask you to do anything that you can't do. So if the Lord tells you to do something and you can't do it, all you have to do is tell him. Like tithing. If you can't afford to tithe, tell the Lord. He doesn't know you can't afford to tithe. If the Lord knew you couldn't afford it, he wouldn't ask you to do it. Just explain it to him. "Why do I have to quit my job?" "I'm going to give you a church." "Where is the church?" "Never mind where the church is. You quit your job. I want you to trust me." "Well, Lord, you give me the church and then I'll quit my job." "No, you quit the job and you'll get the church." Finally, he said, "All right, Lord, I'll take that next step and I'll quit my job." He might have said, "Lord, if my wife starves to death, my kids starve to death, it's going to be your fault." But just obey God and leave the consequences to him. The man quit his job on Monday. Imagine he went to work and said, "I'm quitting my job." Perhaps they thought he had gotten a promotion or a better job. Nobody quits his job unless he has a better job somewhere else, right? "You're going to quit your job?" "Yes, sir. I've already quit." "You have another job?" "No." "What are you going to do?" I'm going to pastor a church. What church? I don't know. But what do you think happened? He got the church. Without even knowing where the church was that he was going to pastor, he quit his job. I know the man, personally, Paul Levine says, and we had meetings in his church. He quit his job on Monday, and Thursday of that week, he had his church and had a wonderful ministry there. Now then, that's the way you know what God wants you to do. You take the next step in the will of God, and when you take that one, he shows you the next one. Tomorrow, we're going to talk about chapter 3 in this message, one step at a time. But can I share with you a personal illustration in the last 2 minutes here? I recall when I was trying to figure out what God had for my life. I was an assistant pastor, wonderful ministry, working with a great man, but I knew God had something to step out on, something of faith, something, a next step, as just was being talked about by Dr. Paul Levine. And the Lord pointed to evangelism, pointed to traveling America and the world, preaching the gospel. And finally, I was not opposed to it, but it was just, it was a difficult thing. I'd never really considered it, and sat down with my pastor, and my wife was in the office there, and pastor, I know for a fact, I know God has me to step out into evangelism. This was a Sunday of, it was June or July 2019. Some of you have heard this story before. Pastor, I know God has us in evangelism. I don't know what that's going to look like. I'm thinking, at the time, 27 years old. Who's going to have a 27-year-old evangelist, and what am I going to have to say even if they do have me in? And we talk, and we agreed. It might be wise. 6 months for him to find a replacement for me. 6 months for me to put some things in order and get ready and sell our house and all that stuff. And that was Sunday. 2 days later, I was at camp with our young people. I got a call. A friend of mine called during a game time. I stepped away, and he said this, "Hey, are you thinking about a transition in ministry?" And that was the beginning. That was what led to me taking the helm of Bible Tracks Incorporated. And what God has done through this marvelous ministry, please understand, it's all God. But it happened one step at a time. And far be it from me, though it sometimes is difficult, sometimes you have to muster up the faith, there are big things on the horizon, things we are working on, and we have to take them one step at a time. Let me encourage you, friend, as Dr. Paul counseled us, one step at a time. My prayer, as always, is that you have a wonderful day, a great day for His glory. We will plan on talking to you soon. Tune in tomorrow and Friday as we draw this message to a close. God bless.
Thank you for joining us today for Bible Tract Echoes, a ministry of Bible Tracks Incorporated. If you would like to receive a free sample booklet of all of our tracks, you can contact us by calling 309-828-6888. That's 309-828-6888. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 130, Dwight, Illinois 60420. A faster way to contact us is to go to our website at BibleTracksInc.org. That's BibleTracksInc.org. There you will find more information about our ministry and details on how you can support Bible Tracks Incorporated. Thanks for listening, and may the Lord richly bless you as you serve Him.